नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी कारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश कारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडेज सेशन। We have been discussing from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita for the last many weeks now. So I'm not going to do a whole chapter recap. I have done it many, many times. So I just take it from the 30th verse onwards, where essentially Krishna has described about Nishkama Karma Yoga in detail, and he is just summarizing. In this particular verse, he is just summarizing the teachings, his teachings on Nishkama Karma Yoga to Arjuna. So he says that Mayi Sarvani Karmani Sanyasya Adhyatma Chetasa Nirashir Nirmamo Bhutva Yudhyasva Vigatajvara. So this is the essential summary of the whole Nishkama Karma Yoga, which is, he says that my sarvani karmani sanyasya, which means offer all activities to me, which means essentially perform yajnartat karma, perform your prescribed duties according to your dharma shastras, and adhyatma chetasa. Adhyatma Chetasa means you should perform these activities not for any material benefit, but keeping your mind on achieving liberation should be the goal, or self-realization should be the goal. Liberation through self-realization should be the goal. And he says, Nirashir Nirmamo Bhutva, being without possessiveness, or desire, which means apart from achieving self-realization, you should not have any other desire. And he says that yudhyasva means perform your occupational duties. Vigata jvara means don't feel lethargic in performing your prescribed duties. So this in essence is the summary of Krishna's teachings on Nishkama Karma Yoga. Essentially, perform your varnash duties which are prescribed to you with the goal of attaining self-realization, and through self-realization attaining liberation. That should be the goal. With that in mind, perform your prescribed duties. And in between, because of your material vasanas, you may get attracted to achieve some material benefits. So give up attachment to those material benefits and stay focused in achieving a transcendental goal of self-realization, and through self-realization, liberation. This is the essential teaching of Krishna about Nishkama Karma Yoga. So those who have karma adhikar, which is in general most people, they should ideally follow this principle. If not, below this also the principle of Sakama Karma Yoga is there, where one may not be nirashir nirmamo, one may still have possessiveness and desire, and one may perform it for one's own material gratification. That is also possible. So in that case, adhyatma chet will not be possible. So this is specific instruction for Nishkama Karma Yoga. So then he says, Yeme matamidam nityam anutishtanti manava shraddhavanto na soyanto muchyante tepi karma bihi. One who follows this teaching of mine without any envy and with full faith, he will be delivered from the bondage reactions, as it was mentioned before. Yajnartat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandana tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sanga samachara. Krishna already told this. So one who follows this teaching of mine about Nishkama Karma Yoga and follows it will not get bound by his actions. Okay. On the contrary, Yetvetad Abhyasuyanto Na Anutishtanti Me Matam Sarvajnana Vimudamstan Vidhinash Achetasaha. He says, but on the contrary, if one who is devoid of knowledge and devoid of proper consciousness and he feels very hostile towards me and my instructions and thus neglects to follow these instructions, will certainly get lost. He will get lost in the cycle of karma. Okay. So then he says that but people are too much conducted by their own natures. They will not be able to follow these instructions. People who are addicts, who are completely addicted to acting according to their own natures, they will not be able to follow these instructions, even though they may know these instructions. Sadrisham cheshtate svasyaha prakritir jnanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigrahakyam karishyati, Krishna says. He says that even a man of knowledge is forced to act according to his nature. So therefore, such a person who has a very strong influence of his nature, who is being pushed by his nature very strongly, even the elaborate instructions or information about punishment due to non-performance of one's prescribed duties cannot stop him from neglecting his prescribed duties. Therefore, Krishna says in the next verse, Krishna, Arjuna, be very careful. Don't keep pampering yourself. At any stage of your life, you will have likes and dislikes. Indriyasyarthe ragadvesho vyavasthitau tayor na vasham agachet tauhyasya paripantinau. Look, for anything you take, you will have likes and dislikes. But you can't allow your life to be conducted purely based on likes and dislikes. You cannot allow yourself to be conducted purely based on likes and dislikes. This won't work. You know, if you keep pampering yourself in a way, then you will also fall within that category. Very soon, you will become addicted to yield to your nature all the time. So, addiction starts with pampering. So, with the act of pampering oneself. So, therefore, be very careful. Before you become an addict, where you are helplessly unable to act according to my injunctions, Nishkama Karma Yoga, in the beginning only, regulate your senses. Don't act according to your likes and dislikes and try to regulate your senses according to what the Dharma Shastras say is according to your Dharma. Follow it, and whatever they prohibit as being unfavorable for your adharmic, consciously reject it. Okay, so make this change of paradigm. Don't yield to this raga and dvesha, because they will be a very strong obstacle to your achieving your goal. So then Arjuna may say, okay, I agree with your point. Dharma I should follow, so there is no doubt about it. See, initially Arjuna was arguing that there is Varna and Ashrama. Initially, Krishna told you have to act according to your Varna and Ashrama. Arjuna says, okay, I will act according to the Sannyasa Ashrama. Krishna replies, no, your Ashrama is not Sannyas. You are qualified only for Grihastha Ashram. So Grihastha Ashram means You have to perform your Varna Dharma. You have to perform Varna Dharma. You cannot give up your Varna Dharma. Varna Dharma can be given up only at the stage of sannyas. Sannyas means your heart should be completely purified so that you can perfectly focus only on Atma. Because your heart is not purified, you cannot do the duties of sannyasi. You have to perform your grihastha dharma. So then Arjuna says, okay, I will follow grihastha dharma, but dharma of a Brahmin, non-violence, not that of a Kshatriya. Because I feel I can do my Brahminical, I can do the Brahminical dharma easily. Krishna says, no. Neither can you prematurely take up sannyas, nor can you take up someone else's duty. Shreyan swadharmo vigunah paradharmo paradharmat sunushtitat swadharmehi nidanam shreyah paradharmo vayavah. He says that it is better to improperly and incompletely perform one's own prescribed duties than to perform someone else's prescribed duties properly. As we saw last time, this is because every person has a particular kind of disease. Brahmanas have a particular disease in the sense a particular combination of material modes which have to be cleansed. Kshatriyas have a particular combination of material modes which have to be cleansed. Similarly, Vaishyas and Shudras. So, their specific prescribed duties are the medicines to cleanse that particular disease. So, if you have a disease, malaria, then you cannot take the medicine of a jaundiced person to cure yourself. If you are afflicted with malaria, you have to take malaria medicine only. If you are afflicted with jaundice, you have to take jaundice medicine only. Just because you like the sugarcane juice which is given to a jaundiced person, you cannot take it because you are afflicted with malaria and that medicine is not good for you. It is in fact dangerous for you. So Krishna says very clearly, you should follow your ashrama only and you should follow your varna only. This is very strict. Krishna is telling me. So then he says that at this point of time, Arjuna asks this question, referring to that sadrisham cheshtate swasya prakritir jnanavanapi. Everyone, even though they know that it is wrong, it is not according to dharma, people get very much affected by it. People still cannot control their nature. And they succumb to their nature, even though that nature may be sinful. So at this point of time, Arjuna asks this question. What is it, Arjuna, which is forcing me to act in these sinful ways, even though I don't want to act? Ata kena prayukto yam papam charati purushaha anichchan api varshneya baladiva niyojita. It seems like someone is pushing me from behind. I don't want to do it. What is it that is pushing me? Krishna says, kamayesha krodayesha rajoguna samudbhavan mahashano mahapapma viddi enamiha vairinam. It is lust only, Arjuna, which later transforms into anger. Lust only which later transforms into anger, which is arising from Rajogun. And this is the great devourer. So don't think that if you pacify your desire, if you fulfill the desire which is presented by lust, it will be pacified, because it is like adding fuel to fire. How much ever you add, that much it will consume actually. And it is mahapapma. You cannot, it is such a ferocious one. You cannot use samadana and bheda. You cannot threaten this fellow. You cannot pacify him by sweet words. And you cannot and you cannot samadana, and you cannot give him gifts also. The more you give, the more he will ask. Therefore, this is lust only, Arjuna. And then he says there are multiple levels of lust. Dumena vriyate vaknir yatadarsho malena cha yatulbena avrito garbhastata teneda mavritam. He says that there are multiple levels of covering of lust. As fire is covered by smoke, mirror is covered by dust, and embryo is covered by the womb. In the same way, universe is covered by lust to various degrees. So these are three different levels. When fire is covered by smoke, the form and function of fire is retained. When mirror is covered by dust, the form is there, the function is severely compromised to the extent dust covers that mirror. And when you are talking about embryo covering embryo covered by the womb, the form is also covered and the function is also covered. So in the same way, people have different levels of lust, as we saw last time. If you remember, dhyayato vishayan pumsam sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kamat kamat krodo vijayate krodat bhavati sammat sammohat smriti vibhrama smriti bhramshat buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashyati. So if you see in this particular level, you know, you can say dhyayato vishayan pumsam, you know, just little bit of meditation, you can say is like smoke covering the fire. But later, when that meditation leads to attachment, attachment leads to deeper it leads I'm sorry, and when it further leads to kama, krodha, sammoha and all these things, where one starts to lose the discrimination about what is right, what is wrong. One starts forgetting the ability to counteract lust and eventually loses the determination to fight against the lusty impulse. Those are stages of, you know, embryo being covered by the womb. Huh? So where literally... That is when you see a person, you can't even identify whether, you know, sometimes when a person becomes completely addicted to something, like he may be a devotee or a dharmic person, but when at that level, when a person gets into that level of indulgence, you know, you wonder, is he really a devotee or not, you know, because the actions seem very, very unfair, you know, unlike what a devotee is supposed to do. So where the form and function both are severely covered. Okay. So therefore, at different levels of the affliction of lust, you can say the covering is either like a smoke covering fire or dust covering mirror, or you can say womb covering the embryo. Another way of looking at it is what Srila Prabhupada says is like, you know, this indicates different species actually. human beings, they can sort of think about dharma. So therefore, their covering of lust is compared to smoke covering air. Animals, it is, you know, like dust covering the mirror. And plants, it is like womb covering the embryo, like that. You know, that kind of explanation is given also. So, talking about lust, this is where we ended our discussion. last week. So we will now continue our discussion further. Before we continue our discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, you can please raise your hands. I already see one hand up. Lokanath Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu, please go ahead, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, yes, you in Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni, while preaching to Yudhishthira Maharaj, gives that example of extinguishing lust or desires by pouring this thing, ghee on the this thing, large quantity instead of small this thing.
Uh-huh.
What is the purpose of that preaching? I know that doesn't work, but why does he tell that, and where is it, where is the use of that that type of philosophy?
I'm just trying to recollect, Prabhu. This comes in, who tells whom? Narad Muni tells?
Narad Muni tells Yudhishthira Maharaj.
Narad Muni tells Yudhishthira Maharaj and Srimad Bhagavatam that if you pour large quantities of ghee, it gets extinguished like that.
And if you pour small, then it increases. Based on this philosophy, the Sri also propounded his philosophy. But Rajneesh Osho, you know.
Osho Rajneesh, yeah. Sambhog se Samadhi.
He used this principle for propagating his thing. So, what is the purpose of that teaching?
I need to check, Prabhuji. Let me. I'm just trying to recollect where Narada Muni tells Yudhishthira Maharaj. One place where Narada Muni's instruction of Yudhishthira Maharaj is 7th canto. So it must be the last five chapters, maybe, where he must have spoken about it. I will have to check, Prabhu. If you can find out, I will also search for the reference. If you can also search the reference, you can just let me know.
Okay.
Sachipran Prabhu and Rajarade Mataji.
Haribol Prabhuji, Dandat Pranam.
Dandat Prabhu, yes.
See, in the slide, it shows ki when it is very deep, one become unconscious. And when lust is shallow, it is possible to remember spiritual goal. That means a person is, still his senses are still, you know, contemplating on the object of the sense gratification. But he has not given up his spiritual life. Is it correct what I have understood?
Yeah. And this is not. So, this is not. And we are talking about urges.
Okay.
So, urges are very conditional urges. You know. So, the urge to enjoy something comes. And within a few minutes or an hour or so, you know, you go through all stages. Dhyayato tu pranashyati. In one sense. And then eventually, in the beginning, we say, oh, it's just, you know, let me just chant. And after some time, you are chanting and simultaneously thinking about it. And then very soon you think, oh, I wish I could enjoy it. And then you are indulging in it. And then it becomes very difficult to stop at, it becomes the loba, the krodha, then leads to sammoha, where you forget, where you start forgetting, losing discrimination about what is right and what is wrong. And eventually you start forgetting the various step one, step two, step three to overcome lust. And eventually you lose the determination only. Abhi chod do, mere se kuch nahi hoga, I will indulge like that. But once that urge is gone, then the person has to regroup himself and says, okay, next time, I need to have a better strategy. So, how we can address it at the level of dhyayato, you know, when it is on the level of, you know, smoke covering the fire only, I have to, you know, ensure that it does not move to the level of dust covering the mirror. So, then from that stage, to retract back will become very difficult. So, like that.
So, Prabhu, another point is, like, in today's world, everything, I think last time also, in one of the class, I asked this question. Because nowadays, the mobile, internet or the mobile or maybe Wi-Fi, wherever, internet is such a weapon where I've seen many families those completely distorted, you know, all these things are happening. Like, you are carrying the weapon of, you know, destruction within your hand. At the same time, you cannot give it up completely. That means you are still attached to it. It's like even if you try to, you know, maintain that, oh, I will see only for a few minutes or a few seconds, whatever, you know, whatever vows we take, but that never happens in a determination. And then at the same time, you know, fall in love with, you know, mobile and just waste your time sometimes, hours, no? So
yeah,
this kind of is also a lust actually. So sometimes, you know, people while even chanting also, they constantly see the mobile, what message has come, or what my WhatsApp notification has come. So are they fall in which category? Because either they are completely forgetting the goal, that 10 offenses to the holy name, they are not able to remember their spiritual goals. So
this is certainly not first level, bro. This is second or worst case third level, you know. You know, that level of covering, definitely.
Mm.
Yeah. So we have to, but when we come back to our senses, then we have to at that time see, you know, this cannot continue. We have to see how we can fence ourselves. Mm. That plan should be very clear. We may fall down, you know, we may succumb to it. But when we regain our senses, when that urge is gone, and when we are no longer, you know, overwhelmed by that urge, at that time we have to strategize and create all kinds of fences, like a drunkard at night, raat ko jaake aisa pee leta hai, or matlab, no one can stop him. But in the morning when he wakes up, you know, he has to, you know, strategize as to how, what do I do? Okay. You know, with these people, if I meet in the evening, then it inspires me. I get the inspiration to drink. So I should ensure that I don't meet these people. So if I don't have to meet these people, what all I need to do? And all those things, you know, strategy, we have to sincerely do and pray to Krishna, seek help. You know, there are devotees, trustworthy devotees in whom we can, you know, confide and take help.
Mm.
So in that way, slowly, slowly, Krishna, when he sees that the person is sincere and interested, slowly Krishna will also give some help. So that way it is possible. So once we are consumed by it, we cannot do anything. But once we come back to our senses, we have to really strategize and do something, you know, do some proper planning to overcome it. Step one, step two, step three, step four. Keep executing. Keep making fences around us so that, you know, it will keep us in the protected zone like that.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Anything else anyone would like to ask, add before we move ahead? Okay. If there is none, we will continue our discussion. So, now Krishna continues discussing about this lust. Avritam jnanam etena jnanino nitya vairya kama rupena kaunteya dushpurena analena cha. Jnaninah jnanam. The jnani is jnana, the knowledge of the knower. Avritam is covered. Etena nitya vairina, by this eternal enemy. The knowledge is covered means what? The knowledge is covered means the importance of that knowledge, the ability to realize it is compromised by this thoughts of instant gratification, right? We know this, right? So exam is coming. you know, children, exam is coming. They know that they have to study, but somehow, you know, they keep playing video games or something like that. One more game, one more game, one more game. So even though knowledge says that you are wasting your time, you are actually compromising your future. You are jeopardizing your future. That knowledge is there, but that knowledge is covered by the desire of instant gratification. Instant gratification completely covers that knowledge. I am destroying my own spiritual life by indulging in this way. But that knowledge is covered momentarily. Till that urge is, for that moment subsides, you know, you black out, you know. You don't understand, you don't know what you're doing, and we end up indulging. And after that, when the urge subsides, then we come to senses. Oh, what the hell did I do? Like that. So, avritam jnanam etena jnanino nitya vairinam. Nitya vairi. It is an eternal enemy. Lust cannot be befriended at any time. Lust has to be destroyed. Lust cannot be befriended. That is why it is called as nitya vairi. Nitya vairi means eternal enemy. Right? So, avritam jnanam etena jnanino nitya vairi kama rupena. So the knowledge of the knower is covered by this eternal enemy in the form of lust. Dushpurena analena. And it is like an unsatisfied fire. How much ever fuel we add, it will not get subdued like that. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhakur says, this verse explains that lust is indeed ignorance of the jiva, for it covers the knowledge of the jiva. The phrase eternal enemy indicates that lust must by all means be killed. So you cannot befriend lust, right? So that is why we were discussing, right? Kama Krishna Karmarpane. We are talking about dovetailing anarthas, right? Again, this here Krishna says, Jnanino Nitya Vairina. So this lust is an eternal enemy. So which means lust cannot be dovetailed. Lust has to be destroyed. But that kama for Krishna karma that we have, that is not lust actually. Because that is an act of selflessness. Lust is an act of selfishness. Lust is a selfish act for Atmendriya Preeti. So, lust is a manifestation of self-obsession. Self-obsession. So, kama Krishna karma arpane. We will get attached to Krishna karma only when we get attached to Krishna. So without getting attached to Krishna, while being self-obsessed, to dovetail lust is not at all possible. So this is another proof. At times we say we can dovetail our anarthas in Krishna's service. This is not at all possible. Anarthas cannot be dovetailed in Krishna's service. Okay. So therefore, lust has to be given up. One has to address and how to overcome that lust. We are going to see that very soon. Krishna is going to tell. But he is addressing it as Jnanino Nitya Vairi. This is an eternal enemy, which means at no stage can you befriend lust. Okay. Like that. So, by this ignorance in the form of lust compared to an unsatisfied fire, knowledge is covered. Knowledge is covered. So lust, you can take it as the urge for instant gratification. Okay. The urge for instant gratification is lust. So when that urge comes, our knowledge vanishes actually. And the person has sometimes, like a devotee, you can, when he is doing the most important activity of connecting with Krishna, chanting the holy name, that Nitya Vairi, eternal enemy, takes our mind away from it and indulges it in checking WhatsApp messages like that. So that instant gratification covers our the desire, the urge for instant gratification covers our knowledge about what is best for us. So and that urge for instant gratification cannot be dovetailed in Krishna service. No, that is not possible. It has to be killed. It has to be destroyed. Okay. So therefore it is said in the 9th canto, na jatu kamah kamanam upabhogena shamyati havisha krishna vartmeva bhuya eva bivardate. Krishartma iva, just as fire, bhuya eva abhivardate, it increases more and more. Havisha, when you supply the oblations like ghee and all that. Similarly, kamanam kamaha, lusty people, na jatu shamyati, can never be pacified upabhogena, by enjoyment. So this is not possible. Lust cannot be pacified by offering enjoyment. So that is why it is, and like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions here before we move ahead? Okay, there is something in the chat box. Oh. Okay, there is a, okay. The Lokanath Prabhu, the question that he asked, the there is the reference is there. 7.11.33.34. I will share it in the chat box here. Okay, you can see it's there in the chat box for everyone to see. Navadvip Chandra Prabhu has provided the reference. So the translation, just as drops of ghee on fire never extinguish the fire, but a flood of ghee will. Similarly, overindulgence in lusty desires mitigates such desires entirely. So, okay, translation and purport. My dear king, if an agriculture field is cultivated again and again, the power of its production decreases and whatever seeds are sown there are lost. Just as drops of ghee on fire never extinguish fire, but a flood of ghee will. Similarly, overindulgence in lusty desires mitigates such desires entirely. So, he says, if one continuously sprinkles drops of ghee on fire, the fire will not be extinguished. But if one suddenly puts a lump of ghee on a fire, the fire may possibly be extinguished entirely. Similarly, those who are too sinful and have thus been born in the lower classes are allowed to enjoy sinful activities fully. For thus, there is a chance that these activities will become detestful to them and they will get the opportunity to get purified. Anyway, I will have to read, the context and what was spoken before and after, and then I will be able to comment on it properly. As of now, I understand what is being spoken, but the context, I will find this out and I will respond to this question next week. Okay, anything else before we move ahead? Anything anyone would like to share as I have? Okay, if there is none, we will continue our discussion. So then in the next verse, he talks about, we say lust, 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 but where does lust reside? Where does lust reside? Okay. So he says three places of residence. Indriyani mano buddhir syadishtana muchyate etair vimohayatyesha jnanam avritya dehinam. So he says, Indriyani mano buddhihi, senses, mind and intelligence, asya adishtanam uchyate, are the seats of this lust. Senses, mind and intelligence. Etaihi, by these, jnanam avritya dehinam, lust covering the knowledge of the soul, vimohayat yesha, it bewilders the soul. Okay. So lust is seated in mind, senses and intelligence. So intelligence gives ideas as to how you can instantly gratify your this thing. Mind, by being running after the sense, and senses by running after the sense object. So in that way, mind is the reservoir of all the past experience of enjoyment. So by accessing that, mind, lust stays in the mind also. And intelligence by giving the directions and ideas as to how one can enjoy. And senses by being attached to the sense objects. So in this way, lust resides everywhere in these three places, he says. So Tiloshana Jagadagur says, where is this lust situated? This verse explains. The great fortresses and cities of this enemy lust are senses, mind and intelligence. And the sense objects, starting with sound, are the provinces ruled by the king called lust. Okay. So Upa, Rasa, Sparsha, Ganda, Rupa, Rasa, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Sparsha, Ganda, and Shabda. Okay. So these are the cities. These are compared to the cities. Okay. Okay. And lust is the king who rules these cities of Rupa, Rasa, Sparsha, Gandha and lust and Shabda. So, and this lust resides, the king lust resides in, his residences are senses, mind, and intelligence. Okay. Right. So these provinces nourish the cities. The provinces nourish to the cities. I mean, okay. Are the provinces ruled by the king called lust? Lust bewilders the jiva by covering knowledge using the senses, mind and intelligence. So in this way, our knowledge is covered as to, you know, even though the shastras say, you know, we should not be inattentively chanting. We should not be eating non-prasadam. But still, momentarily, that knowledge will be heard by our desire for instant gratification, which resides in senses, mind and intelligence. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move ahead? Okay. If there is none, we will continue. So, okay, we have identified three residences of lust. Okay. Which is mind, intelligence, and senses. So where do you start? So where do you start with? Krishna says, with senses. Tasmat tvam indriyani adau niyamya bharatarshava. Papmanam prajahih yenam jnana vijnana nashanam. He says, tasmat, therefore, adau, as a first step, indriyani niyamya, you have to control the senses. Niyamya means regulate. You have to regulate your senses, oh Bharata Rishabha, oh best of the Bharata lineage. So regulation means what? Engagement. You give constant engagement to your senses. So for a Nishkama Karma Yogi, he has to have constant engagement in the limbs of Nishkama Karma Yoga. For a Bhakti Yogi, he should have constant sensory engagement in the activities of Bhakti Yoga. So, Tvam Prajahi Hi Enam Papmanam. So, by first controlling the senses, kill this demon, Jnana Vijnana Nashanam, which destroys the knowledge and intelligence. So, to begin with, so lust in the mind means getting lusty thoughts. Lust in the senses means engaging the senses in the sense objects. Okay. So lust in the intelligence means, justification. Planning ideas and justification. Okay. So, the most difficult is, lusty thoughts. How you can control lusty thoughts? Here, by lust, I am not indicating only man-woman attraction. That is just one type. So, how do you control lusty thoughts? He says, to control lusty thoughts is not possible. Okay. So as long as our senses have such engagement. So how can I, so therefore, first we have to stop our senses from getting sense gratificatory indulgences. Otherwise, to control our mind is not possible. Because the food for our mind comes from the senses. So unless that food is stopped, our mind cannot stop. Okay. So therefore, the senses have to be stopped first. Otherwise, it is like, you have a ground floor house with dusty pathways outside, and you have like four windows and one door, all are open, and there is a cyclone outside, and dust is blowing into the house through all those four windows and one door. Okay. So you want to keep the house clean. So what should be the first thing that one should do? Will one pick up a broom and start brooming the house? Yes, of course one has to do that. But before doing that, one has to first close all the windows and doors. If the windows and doors are not closed, and if you keep brooming the house, it is like, dust will constantly be flowing in. So one will not be able to accomplish that grooming properly. So not closing the windows and just trying to broom is like trying to control one's the lust on the level of mind while allowing the senses to indulge in activities of sense gratification. This is not going to happen at all. This will not be successful at all. So therefore, he says that tasmatvam indriyani adau niyamya. In order to start addressing the lust, you have to start having Krishna conscious engagement to your senses continuously. Engaging this, engaging the senses is much more easier than engaging the mind. So man lage ya na lage, indriyon ko to lagana hi padega. So we were discussing the other day, right? Many times, you know, we say that mechanical devotional service is not good. Many times we are lamenting that, oh, my devotional service is mechanical. Okay. So mechanical devotional service is certainly inferior to spontaneous devotional service. So for most of us, our problem is not mechanical devotional service. We have a deeper problem, which is spontaneous sense gratification. Okay. So the problem is you cannot go from spontaneous sense gratification to spontaneous devotional service directly. The means is through mechanical devotional service only. And that mechanical devotional service is what Krishna is talking about here. Of course, even though he is speaking about it in the context of Nishkama Karma Yoga, this has a parallel in Bhakti Yoga also. So, I have shared this many times. I remember once His Holiness Gaur Krishna Maharaj, he met one of his one of the devotees whom he knew from before, and he asked him, "Kya japa kar rahe ho ki nahi?" So he told, "Nahi Maharaj, nahi ho raha hai." So Maharaj asked, "Kyun nahi ho raha hai?" So he said, "Man nahi lag raha hai Maharaj, man nahi lag raha hai." So then Maharaj said, "Nahi karega to nahi karega to man lag jayega." So if you don't engage in chanting, you will get for chanting. So the point is, if the senses are continuously engaged in sense gratificatory activities, then the mind will never get attracted to devotional service. It is not at all possible. For the mind to get attracted to devotional service, the senses have to, in the beginning, at mechanically be engaged in devotional service. So it is true that spontaneous devotional service is better than mechanical devotional service. But for most of us, we have to consider that mechanical devotional service is better than spontaneous sense gratification. Because our struggle is mostly not with mechanical devotional service. Our struggle is mostly with spontaneous sense gratification. Because that is something which is very spontaneous. Because our, we allow our senses such easy access to the objects of sense gratification that our mind spontaneously thinks about sense gratification only. So the means to stop it is to first, at least whether our we may like or not, mechanically mechanically engage all the senses in Krishna's service. And slowly, slowly mind will get used to it. Because the nature of mind is to make the best use of the bad bargain. That is the nature of mind. It will try to make use of the bad bargain. So the best bargain is, you know, chocolates and ice creams and you know, roadside vada pav and dabeli and all that, you know, that may be the best bargain. But if you tell your mind very clearly, nothing doing, everything I will make at home, or you know, for seeing the deities are there, or at the most I will let you watch, you know, little Krishna. Okay, for eating, whatever you want will be made at home, and you have shravanam, you have kirtanam, you have smaranam, and all of that. So when all of that is available, mind will initially rebel. Are nahi, at least thoda to hafte mein do bar to vada pav dabeli to chahiye, like that. But when you strictly you know, try to abide what is likable to the mind within the devotional realm, then within that the mind will start choosing what it likes the most, like that. So therefore, if you remember, in the last week or the week before that, Shyamalal Prabhu had asked this question. Shyamalal Prabhu had asked this question that sometimes people say that if you do what you like, that is not bhakti, that is karma yoga, something like that he had asked. So but that is wrong, actually. That is not the right understanding. Actually, it is very important, especially in the beginning stages, that one performs activities of devotional service which one likes. And it is especially the responsibility of leaders to ensure that, because we discussed, right, that devotional service has multiple stages. You know, the lowest stage is the succumbing stage, where we may end up succumbing to many sense gratificatory desires. Higher than that is the dovetailing stage, where you have certain attachments which are dovetailable in Krishna's service. You have certain likes, some of the limbs you like very much doing, other limbs you may not like so much doing. So engaging in those limbs that you like, which is the dovetailing stage. Higher than that is the Yukta Vairagya stage, where one develops a fairly good amount of detachment from enjoyment, and the highest is spontaneous devotional service. Many times, while the person may be in the succumbing stage, they are pushed, or they are encouraged. Is still good, but many times pushed to come directly to the stage of Yukta Vairagya. Whatever is needed, you should be willing to do. Okay? Not to do things which you like to do is not bhakti. This is very wrong understanding, actually. This is very wrong understanding. Actually, if in the initial stages, we should be encouraged and allowed to do activities within the devotional realm which we like. Okay, we should certainly develop activities. We should have likable activities in devotional service, within the devotional, because especially when we are still vulnerable to the succumbing stage. Okay. And a very shrewd leader will ensure that that the devotees who are vulnerable to this stage of succumbing are very much engaged in activities within the devotional realm which they like. Because unless we have a very tangible means of a tangible devotional means of overcoming boredom, right, unless we have a very tangible devotional means of overcoming boredom, we cannot overcome the succumbing stage actually. Then whenever we feel bored, we will have a non-devotional way of overcoming boredom. So therefore, this is very, very important. You cannot skip this dovetailing stage and directly go from succumbing stage to Yukta Vairagya. It's impossible. So therefore, these kind of making people feel bad that, you know what, if you do what you like, that is karma yoga, that is not even bhakti yoga. So basically, people feel that ठीक है यार मुझे जो अच्छा लगता है होगा तो भक्ति ही नहीं है. तो भक्ति मतलब जो बोला गया है वही बोल, यू नो, ओनली दैट आई शुड डू. यू नो, व्हेन पीपल थिंक लाइक दैट, देन एसेंशियली दे विल डेफिनेटली बी गोइंग थ्रू पैचेस ऑफ टाइम ड्यूरिंग द डे व्हेन दे फील बोर्ड एंड दे आर रियली लुकिंग फॉर सम फुलफिलमेंट. So at that time, because they have been told, if you do what you like, it is karma yoga, it's not bhakti yoga. So they end up doing material things to overcome their boredom. So this is very important. That is what here Krishna says, that tasmatvam indriyani adav niyamya bharatarishabha. You should start with regulating your senses by giving them constant engagement. And in the beginning, that constant engagement can be likable constant engagement. So that man bhi lag jaye jald se jaldi. So plus essentially the mind also has to get attached. So for that, mind will get attached the more likable the activity is. So this is like very, very important. So that's what here Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur says. The rule is that by conquering the shelters of enemy, the enemy can be conquered. The shelters of lust are the senses, the mind and intelligence, which are respectively increasingly difficult to conquer. Senses are easiest, mind is little more difficult, intelligence is most difficult. The senses may be difficult to control, but they are easier to conquer than the other items. Therefore, first, the senses should be conquered. You should control the senses. Though the uncontrollable mind wants to steal others' wives or properties, one should not engage the senses by carefully considering the situation of the functioning of the senses, such as eyes, ear, hands, or feet. So kill this ferocious lust. This means that by restricting the senses, after some time, the mind will become freed of lust. So if the mind does not keep getting inciting signals from the senses, the mind becomes pacified over a period of time. So like that. So there is a foot here by Srila Bhanuswami Maharaj. He writes, previously stopping the senses was not recommended since the mind will dwell on these, on the sense objects. Here Krishna is stating that the senses should be controlled by proper engagement, but not stopped, and they help control the mind from dwelling on enjoyment. Mind and intelligence should also be controlled by suitable engagement, but ultimately, if effort is not made to understand the Atma and develop taste in the Atma, all endeavors of sense control and intellect will be futile. Of course, this will be discussed a little later. But for now, he says, start with the senses. Give favorable engagement to the senses. Otherwise, it will be very difficult. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask before we move forward? Yes, Sachi Prandro.
Dandapanam Puji.
kind of thing.
In the initial stage of our devotional life, we hanker for the taste that we got initially, and later on, because we find rasa in each activity, and we don't get that rasa, but initially we got it, the Lord's mercy, and that's why we always try to find out that ras nahi mil raha hai. So the ras is not there, then there is no constant engagement in that activity actually. And then actually things may done for, you know, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. And then finally we think, there is no rasa. So we still, our mind starts searching the rasa. Either the spiritual rasa, what we got it initially, or because of mechanical activities, you know. And we have, naturally we have rasa in material engagement. Senses are naturally attracted to the, you know, opposite sense objects or other sense gratification activities naturally. So they are naturally, they get distracted for that activities. So now you say that boredom, to overcome the boredom we need a good constant engagement at least for, you know, activities which we like.
Correct. So, likable Krishna conscious activities. I'm sure each one of us in this forum can list at least 3-4 activities of Krishna consciousness which we like. Some of us may like cooking. Some of us may like teaching. Some of us may like physical services. So, like that, we have to identify. Of course, the need of the mission is very important, but at the same time, one should certainly have certain likable engagements. And the initial rasa that we got when we came to Krishna consciousness is very likely the rasa of newness. You know, kuch to naya hai. You know, so that newer excitement. It's very likely the utsahamayi. Kind of enthusiasm that we had. It may not necessarily be a very absolutely spiritual rasa. It is just the rasa of novelty, you know, something novel that we are getting to do, you know, a new found faith, a new found society, a new found group of friends, new found activities. So that newness will be there. So it's just the enthusiasm of that newness rather than something, you know, really very spiritual, actually. So, but over a period of time, we should certainly find out, you know, activities within the realm of Krishna consciousness, which we like to do, or activities which we already like even before coming to Krishna consciousness, but which are very much dovetailable in Krishna's service. We should be willing to dovetail it in Krishna's service, not thinking that, arey, ye to mera bhakti mein aane se pehle mera attachments tha. Ha, par phir bhi aap, they are dovetailable in Krishna's service. Na? Don't give it up. Engage it. Engage it in Krishna's service. You like driving, drive devotees around. Something else, you know, there are so many dovetailable attachments, like Shyamali Mataji likes writing. So she, you know, she has dovetailed it by writing about Krishna now. So, I mean, these are like some of the things, you know, which are dovetailable in Krishna's service. So one should find that out and engage in that, so that one can actually engage their senses in Krishna's service.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you.
All right. Okay, there are some questions in the chat box. We have identified 3 places, but it is starting with senses or our past memories stored in the mind. How to wipe out those past memories? Is it possible for a jiva alone to kill lust? Well, of course, the past memories will gradually go away with our practice of bhakti. So generally, in our mind has our mind is like a box, okay, and this is stored with impressions, vasanas. Okay, and the vasanas are filled in the mind. So the I'm very artistically challenged. I can't even write my name in a very legible way. I'm very poor. Please assume that this is a tap. Okay. Even though it does not look like a tap. Okay. Assume that this is a tap. Okay. There are multiple taps like this. Okay. To fill the mind with vasanas, these are the senses: ears, eyes. Okay. There is one more tap in the form of tongue. Okay. They are actually filling the mind with all these vasanas. But generally, mind and these vasanas manifest in the form of thoughts. Okay. So, but generally, the newer impressions get stored in the surface. Okay. So the newer impressions get stored in the surface. And generally, the mind accesses, converts the surface impressions only into thoughts. Dhyayato vishayan pumsam sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kama. So generally, the surface impressions only becomes dhyayato, then sangha, then kama, and then lobha, like that. So generally, the surface impressions means the newer vasanas which are accumulated in the mind through the ears, eyes, nose, tongue, and skin, you know, whatever is stored in the surface. Okay. So while our practice of bhakti will slowly start siphoning out the vasanas from the bottom, okay, but we should actually manage to address our surface impressions. So I call this surface impression management, or you can call it SIM, surface impression management. So manage your surface impressions by giving Krishna conscious engagement to the senses. Okay, but what about the old impressions which have already been there? That by our diligent practice of bhakti, slowly this will be siphoned out from the bottom. Gradually it will go away. So essentially what we have to do is we have to somehow control the surface impressions. Okay, by Savai Manak Krishna Padaravindayur Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane Tarau Harer Mandira Marjanadishu Shrutim Chakara Achyuta Satpatode, by giving Krishna conscious engagement to the all the other senses. So at least the surface impressions which are generated are connected with Krishna. So when it is connected to Krishna, then those impressions will become dhyayato, then sangha, then kama, which is all good. So therefore the question is, there are past impressions which are all there. How do we take care of that? The past impressions are taken care of by practicing bhakti. But the fresh impressions is what we need to manage by regulating our senses and giving them Krishna conscious engagement. Like that. So, there is a question in the chat box again. Lust is the eternal enemy of the soul. Then how the soul is believing that this enemy will satisfy the soul or is good for the soul? It is how it is enemy because it takes the knowledge away. So because it takes the knowledge away, the soul is not able to figure this out. And the soul is getting some instant gratification also. Because of his false identification, he's getting some instant gratification. And because of that instant gratification, he feels, okay, I am fine, like that. So that way the soul, even though at some point he realizes that this is an enemy, he is a very enticing, charming enemy. So it becomes very, we all know that, social media is our enemy, don't we? We all know that our smartphones and our all of this is our enemy, don't we? We know this. But these are very enticing enemies. So lust means enticing enemy. So therefore, we know that it's our enemy, but we end up. Every drug addict knows that the drug is his greatest enemy. But still, very enticing enemy. Like that. From which source or origin this avidya, believing this enemy, lust, starts or originates? So, okay, this question. It starts with what you call as Ishadapetasya. The living entity turns his face away from Krishna. Okay. So when he turns his face away from Krishna, seeking enjoyment without Krishna, then Maya facilitates. Tan Maya Yato. Okay. So when Maya facilitates, how Maya facilitates? Bhayam dvitiya abhineveshitasya ishadapetasya viparyayo asmriti. So Maya facilitates by viparyaya and asmriti. Asmriti means forgetfulness of one's constitutional position. Okay. And viparyaya means identifying with body. So this is called as avaranatmika shakti and this is called as prakshepatmika shakti. So when this happens, then comes dvitiya abhinivesh. Absorption in likes and dislikes. Okay. This is actually lust at various levels. Then this leads to bhayam, samsara. Okay. So it all starts with our turning our face away from Krishna. So the tan mayayato buddha abhajettam bhakteka isham guru devatatma. So the solution is to accept a guru and by the guidance of the guru start serving Krishna. That is the solution for this whole problem. Okay. Anything else before we move on to the next verse? Okay. Next verse, Krishna says, Indriyani paranyahur indriyebhya param manah manasastu para buddhir yo buddhe paratastu saha. Indriyani paranyahu. It is said that the senses are supreme. But indriyebhya param manah. But superior to the senses is the mind. Manasastu para buddhi. Superior to the mind is the intelligence. Yo buddhe paratastu saha. What is superior to the intelligence is the Atma. Okay. So, this hierarchy is established. Sense objects. Okay. Higher than the sense objects are the senses. Indriyani paranyahuhu. Indriyebhya param manaha. Mind is superior to the senses. Manasastu para buddhihi. The buddhi or intelligence is superior to the mind. And superior to the intelligence is Atma. This is the actual hierarchy. Okay. The Atma is supposed to control the buddhi. The buddhi is supposed to control the mind. The mind is supposed to control the senses. The senses are supposed to control the sense objects. But in the conditioned state, what happens? Indriyanam hi charatam yanmano anuvidiyate tadasya harati pragyam vayur navam ivambasi. Okay, in the conditioned state, when one is completely lost, addicted to sense gratification, then the sense objects control the senses. Indriyanam hi charatam yan mano anuvidiyate. That sense drags the mind. Yan mano anuvidiyate tadasya harati pragyam. And that uncontrolled mind controls the intelligence. And that corrupt intelligence corrupts the destination of the soul. Right? So there are these two hierarchies. Okay? So this is the hierarchy of a conditioned soul. Okay, the lower hierarchy. And this higher hierarchy is the is when the for a self-realized person. Okay. So for a sadhaka, there is an equilibrium between these two. There is a dynamic equilibrium between these two hierarchies, right? You can tell me if you have ever had this experience of sometimes you clearly allow your devotional discrimination to ensure that to control your senses, and at other times your senses break down your mind and control your mind. Has it ever happened that to you that sometimes you are able to use good discrimination, your buddhi is controlling the mind, mind is controlling the senses, and senses are controlling the sense objects, but at other times the urge is so difficult to overcome that the senses carry away the mind and mind carries away the intelligence? Have you ever had this experience? You can please raise your hands. Okay, slowly few devotees are raising their hand. But I'm surprised others have never had this experience. Anyways. So therefore, it is true. So the higher hierarchy is for a self-realized person. The lower hierarchy is for conditioned soul. For a sadhaka, it is a dynamic hierarchy. Okay. So a sadhaka's fate follows the higher hierarchy. Okay. And a sadhaka's swabhava or nature follows the lower hierarchy. So sometimes he tries to act according to his faith, sometimes he acts according to his swabhava. In this way, there is a constant tug of war between the two. That is why it's a very dynamic hierarchy for a sadhaka, actually. So therefore, here he says that Indriyani Paranyahur Indriyebhya Param Manaha. manasastu para buddhir yo buddhe paratastu saha. One should not try to conquer over the mind and intelligence first because of the impossibility that is conveyed in this verse. The senses are considered superior, for they cannot be conquered even by warriors who conquer the 10 directions. There is a verse like this in, I think, one or two verses like this in Bhagavatam also. But the mind is superior to the senses, as it is even stronger, not being destroyed during the dreams when the senses do not function. So during dreams, the senses are inactive, but the mind is active. So the mind is even more powerful than the senses. But compared to the mind, the intelligence with the form of vijnana is stronger. During deep sleep, even the mind does not function, but the intelligence remains undestroyed, being present in a very general form. But compared to the intelligence, that which is superior in strength, because it exists in you even when intelligence is destroyed by the practice of jnana, is the famous jivatma, which is the conqueror of lust. So the strongest is the jivatma, which is not destroyed even during liberation. During liberation, even the subtle body is destroyed, but atma is not destroyed. So after conquering the senses, mind and intelligence, the jivatma, which is the most powerful than all of them, can conquer lust. It has understood that it is not an impossible task to conquer lust. It is not an impossible task to conquer lust. It is possible by first trying to control the senses. When the senses are controlled, then one controls the mind and subsequently the intelligence, like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add before we move ahead, or before we wind up for the day? It's already 9:30, or 2 minutes to 9:30. We still have time. Anything anyone would like to share, ask, add. Okay, so for a self-realized soul, there is a question in the chat box. Already, has he overcome the control of the senses, mind and intelligence? Yes, he has. That is why he is self-realized. Yes. Okay. So, should we complete this last? Maybe, yeah, we will pause here. I don't know, because it may take some time to discuss. Okay, one more verse left in the third chapter. We will complete it next week. And then we will start fourth chapter also next week. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion next week. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Thank you.